All right. Just quick statements from me, and then I'll certainly open up to you guys. You know, I think we're anxious to get to the football season aspect of things. I thought our team had a really good fall camp. I'm proud of the growth our football team has made. With that said, in comes a tremendous challenge for our football program. I said this earlier about our opponent. You know, you look at them on film and you really watch the last 2 years of their product, and it's certainly been built over time, but it's a product that we hope we can get our program to, a sustained culture that's competing for championships. And, you know, I think you're getting a really confident team, a team that's got some excellent football players coming back. You know, the defensive aspect of it, when you have all three starting linebackers coming back that have set the tone for their program for the last couple of years, and then obviously the quarterback on the offensive side, you're beyond impressed of the opponent that's coming in. So I've got a great deal of respect for South Dakota State. I love how they play. I love the culture that they play with, and I think it's a great opponent for us to kickstart the season. So with that said, I'll certainly open up to you guys.
Man, we talked about this yesterday on the teleconference, but how good is Mike Rose?
Yeah, you know, I think we're going to find out probably pretty soon. You know, the reality of the position that he plays, and for a freshman to be able to compete right now, I think says a lot about how good maybe he is early in his career. His explosiveness, his understanding of the position, and his intelligence on top of it. You're talking a young man that comes in as a 3-8 student already. So I think you couple all that together and you see him having the ability to learn and grow really fast in our system. But I'm really impressed with Michael. He's had a really good fall camp, and to say he came out of nowhere, I don't know if that's fair, but I think we all had really good expectations for him. But to be where he's at this soon, especially competing for playing time and competing to be a factor for us, that's been really impressive to all of us as coaches.
Matt, there's a lot more depth behind Montgomery this year. He kind of, I don't know if it's fair to say he wore down last year, but he did get injured in November. Do you utilize that depth more early on to assure that he's fresh in November this year?
Yeah, well, I think if anybody told David he wore down, he'd be upset. So we won't do that. But I think the reality of it is, you know, if you look at our team a year ago, there's two guys that we had great confidence in, Johnny Lang and certainly with Kene, if you look where he was at the end of his freshman year. And both those guys weren't available to us. You know, both guys, injuries and dealt with injuries. And so now you get two guys back that at least have health. And one of the things I think in fairness to those guys is those guys are earning the right to play as well. And, you know, I think the position at that running back position, if you just have one guy, that's really hard. And, you know, we're fortunate because you got Mike Warren, who certainly had great success. You know, you look at what the talent of those two other young men that I've already mentioned, and then Sheldon Crony. You know, I think if you talk about growth in our program from really, I thought, saved us last year at the end of the football season, came in, stepped in, played great football, had a tremendous spring, had a great fall camp, then I think you feel really confident in that group as a whole. And so, you know, again, I know there's only one football, but I think the reality of it is those guys are earning the right to play as well. And so instead of saying, man, we're trying to save David, we feel like, gosh, we've got some really good options, and how do we continue to, you know, put those guys in the best position to help our team be successful.
I know you talk a lot about the margin for error being so small and how important that is for you guys, and I know penalties, turnovers, that all goes into it, but what do you kind of look at when you study film or drill or preach to the guys to kind of produce the results you have, maybe especially last year?
Yeah, you know, I think every number one, you have to know who you are, and I think we're becoming more and more, I think, of a student of understanding what's our formula for success. And our formula for success is never going to be the team that's going to go out there and score 80 points and be that team. That's not our niche. Our niche is we have to win in the margins. We've got to be efficient in terms of situational football. We've got to do the little things really well if we're going to compete and be able to sustain success. And so I think what a year ago did was at least made those speeches and those talks about why this is important, and at least made it relevant. And so I think we were able to go back and say, what did we do well in those areas? What haven't we done well in those areas? And how do we improve? And now you go into games, you can almost point those statistics out in those areas out to our kids and really be able to pinpoint, you know, maybe what's the plan for success and how are we going to get there.
It makes it easier, though.
I think at least tasting success allows our kids to, you know, when you're talking about our culture today, I think they it's almost a byproduct that you got to prove it to them. And, you know, I think at least that allowed us to prove how critical some of those margins are for us to be successful in.
Remember last year you were saying you thought Ray Lima might be one of the most overlooked guys on the team or underappreciated. Given kind of how the postseason accolades and preseason accolades came out, do you still feel like that's kind of the case with him, despite what he did last year?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that I really appreciate about Ray is, you know, I don't know whether you say overlooked or undervalued, you know, what Ray will always bring to the table is his humility allows him to kind of blend into the scene, you know, and you almost, you never see how important Ray is until Ray's not there, you know, and I think that's in our locker room. I think that's on the practice field. And certainly when you turn that videotape on from a game, it's on game day. And so he's one of those guys that I think his humility allows him to be overlooked at times in some way, shape, or form. But I think if you ask every player in our program, obviously with him getting voted captain, and, you know, you ask every coach in our program, I think there's a great understanding of his value to our program.
South Dakota State graduates, I think, arguably their best tight end and receiver in history. What's the challenge of scouting a team like that? Do you focus on scheme, or do you look at some of the players? I know their quarterback has had a lot of success.
You know, I think obviously those two were great players, but, you know, you look at their receiving core and there is some veteranness to their receiving core, some guys that on top of those two other young men were certainly beneficiaries of having some leadership and some of those guys that look like they had great careers for South Dakota State. But at the end of it, whether you have great tight ends, you have great receivers, somebody's got to get them the ball, and you just hit on it. You know, I think the whole success ratio comes around the talent of that quarterback. And, you know, I'm beyond impressed with his ability to move, his ability to create big plays. Their success comes from his ability to create those big plays. And I'll tell you, I don't know if I could be any more impressed with a young man that's had a four-year career like he has and what he's been able to do there. As his level of play has risen, so has their success. And, you know, last year you see him going into the Final Fours and to the Final Four of the playoffs. I mean, a lot of that credit has to go to his play and his ability to handle and maneuver that offense. And he's in complete control out there. And so that, you know, for me, a lot of respect from afar watching him play.
For you guys losing Joel, how important was it for Marcel to step up as a leader in that linebacker room?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, we're really fortunate to have two guys in that room that really benefited, I think, from the humility, the character, the work ethic of Joel, and that's Willie and Marcel. You know, Marcel's a guy in our locker room anyways who's just got an infectious personality. You know, he, like David on offense a year ago, he was a guy that I think was a spark plug for our football team because he plays the game the right way. He's one of our hardest workers. And he's a guy that's got an electric personality in our locker room. Everybody flocks to Marcel. But I think the consistency that Joel brought and the humility, and Willie and Marcel as a young player, Willie as a guy that's continuing to grow as a football player, I think those two really grew and learned a lot. And it's again, that's where you're trying to build a program rather than a team. That team sees how one of the best player acts and carries himself. And then finally, I think it sits in where you've got actual visual evidence in front of you saying, man, this is how I need to carry myself. This is how I need to act, because the consistency that this guy plays with is really what's going to give us the best chance to be successful. And, you know, I think those two were certainly, you know, very fortunate. Jake Hummel's another guy, obviously Orion. Those guys were really fortunate to have Joel there and be able to watch the humility that he went about his business with.
Matt, how key is the depth that's developing at tight end with three guys you feel confident in? And also, how does having those guys with those abilities have a ripple effect throughout the offense, particularly on the line?
Well, you know, I think for the first time since we've been here, you feel really confident about the tight end position. And you knew there was really good players there a year ago, but, you know, they're so much like offensive linemen. Everybody wants to they want to get those tight ends on the field. And, you know, thank goodness nobody's asked me yet about how many catches the tight ends have had. So, Randy, I know it's coming. But the reality of it is, that position's like the offensive line. You know, there's such a physicality to that position as well that you want the growth and development to happen. And now you see Chase at almost 255 pounds. You see Charlie Kolarz at 260 pounds. You see Dylan Sainers, you know, 282 pounds. They're maturing, you know, and not only they give you flexibility in the pass game, but in the run game, they allow that offensive line to create gaps and help you do some things that, you know, we really haven't had the ability to do. And I think it's huge. And one guy we can't overlook is obviously, you know, Sam Seenbuchner and what Sam's meant to our football program and our football team, because he has been physically mature enough over the last 2 years to help us. And when we played good football, he's certainly been a key asset to us.
South Dakota State's coach has been there 22 years. When another coach hears that, what does that mean to you?
Well, you know, and I've said this a lot about, you know, I've said this so much about watching the Kansas State program from afar. When And our society doesn't allow this to happen, right? We're such a knee-jerk reaction society that really those legendary coaches that have said, I'm going to build something, I'm going to stay, and I'm going to do it the right way, those are hard to find. They're almost dinosaurs today in our profession. And, you know, here's the result. The result is what you get at Kansas State, what you got at South Dakota State. You get tradition, you get consistency, you get expectations, and you know those things don't die, and it's not cyclical. It just continues to grow and get better. And I think that's one of the things that I have such a respect for. You know, coming from a program like that as a collegiate player and playing in that program where, you know, Coach Karras was that same type of coach and kind of ushered in that same type of success. For me, I appreciate it because that's what I grew up with. That's what I know. You know, the two coaches that are my greatest mentors, my high school coach who, you know, in the Ohio High School Hall of Fame and the winningest high school coach in the state of Ohio, who's been in our high school program now for 30, going into his 34th season, and Coach Karras the same way. You're talking about two coaches that, you know, they've defined a culture and they've set that culture and they've lived it. And I think that's certainly what Coach is doing in South Dakota State, and it's really fun to watch. And you appreciate it from afar, for sure.
Matt, you said trying to figure out your team. You said you got to understand what your team is, your team is. Last year, maybe that come around the Akron, Texas game. And how long do you typically need to wait to maybe fully understand what your team is?
Yeah, no, that's all right. I think for us, certainly, you know, the Akron game, the first five games of the season, I think really ushered in adversity. And I say this all the time to the leadership of our program. I say this all the time to our coaches. And we're defined by adversity. And once adversity hits, I think it allows you, and, you know, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when's that coming for this year's team. You know, is it coming early? Is it coming from on the field? Is it coming from off the field? How does it come? How does it hit? That's what's special about college football. You deal with a lot of kids. You know, you got every program's got 125, 130 players. You got a million different things that can happen, and that can come a million different ways. But to be honest with you, the teams that thrive and have the ability to achieve and reach their full potential are the ones that have the ability to overcome adversity. And so it'll come. We don't know when and we don't know how, but it's coming here at some point. And I think how you respond to that adversity is defining of really what you become and your ability to reach your full potential.
Coach up here, I know you have some suspended players for Saturday. How's the program dealing with that? What impact is that going to have? And also, what is sort of the teaching point for the rest of the team? As you guys deal with that?
Yeah, you know, I think the reality of that is it really has zero impact because all those situations have been handled long ago. You know, the Camilo's was back in January, knew that he wouldn't play in the first football game, you know, and then obviously some young guys that are going through it that, you know, a couple weeks ago that with that situation unfolded. So, you know, the reality for me is they're teaching moments. We have standards. We set the standard and we go through it. You know, I'm not a big guy that you have to prove that, you know, who I am or what we're about by, you know, nationally going through it. Like, we're going to do it. We're going to hold the standard and we're going to hold young people accountable in our program. And I'm a big believer in it. And that's kind of how we've always done it.
Coach, back here again. When you look at the Big 12, it's kind of easy for the masses to say, oh, that conference, they're all about a run-and-gun style. You've consistently preached that we need to win in those margin games. We aren't going to have those games. Is that almost an intentional contrarian play to try and find an advantage in the conference?
Yeah, you know, and now all of a sudden in this conference, everybody's got great running backs coming back, you know. So I think our game is cyclical. The sport is cyclical. You know, obviously the Big 12 in the past has been one where scoring a lot of points has been the answer to success. But, you know, I think you look back 20 years ago and when Nebraska and Oklahoma and they're running the wishbone and they're running the football. So, to me, you have to do week in and week out what gives you a chance to be successful. And that's always changing. And, you know, for us at Iowa State, culturally, it's always going to be our niche to be successful because we are going to have to do the little things right. We're going to have to develop great in our program in terms of the student-athletes we bring in here. We're going to have to do a great job in terms of getting the most out of our juniors and seniors in our program. And we're going to have to do a tremendous job in terms of when we game plan, making sure that all those little details are critical to our success. We're fortunate and starts out game one for us. You know, there's not an opponent on our schedule that you look at it at least a year ago didn't have tremendous success in a lot of ways. And so, you know, we get tested of that starting on Saturday. So when you play a schedule like that and you don't have, you know, there's not a lot of grace period, there's not a lot of opportunity for you to just ease into the college football season. I think it's critical to our success to be able to do those things.
I'm talking about Kyle for a second. In what areas will he be better this year than last?
Yeah, I until those lights come on and we play, you don't know. But what I've seen from the end of last season to the spring and the fall is you've seen that confidence. And, you know, Randy, to me, it's like offensive line, it's like defense. Until you play the game under the lights, until you're out there in critical moments, having successes and having failures, it's really hard for you to reach your full potential. And I think what Kyle has had that opportunity to do is he's been able to do all those things, and now he's been able to take his craft and look at it against highly competitive opponents. What do I have to do better? How can we be better? And I think those are things that really allowed him to blossom, in my opinion. He changed his body, which was great. I think he knew, man, I'm gonna get beat up a little bit. I got to be able to withstand that. How do I get my body right? Mentally, he went into the offseason as the leader. I think the day that we announced him being back on our football team, he stepped into these walls, and he probably had more respect than anybody that walks through our walls on a day-to-day basis by every member of this football program. And, you know, I think he's used that to his advantage, getting guys in when nobody else is around, throwing, catching, watching video. He's had almost complete ownership. And I've said this before to this group, you know, the quarterback, it's almost like, you know, you're the CEO of the program and you got to handle it that way. It's almost as equally as important as the head coach in a lot of ways. And you have to have the ability to own that. And Kyle has owned that every step of the way. So I'm really excited for him. I am. I'm really proud of him. And I really look forward to watching what that product looks like, because I think he's worked really hard to have that confidence to go into the fall.
Back to the Mike linebacker spot for a second. Whether it's Mike Rose or Orion or even Bobby, he hasn't played a ton in that situation, yep. I guess. How important can it be, or how helpful can it be to have Marcel and Willie on each side of him and have a guy like Gray in front of him?
Yeah. And Bobby probably, I think, fairly needs to be talked about too. And, you know, Bobby's had a really good, you're talking about a young man that came off some injuries at the end of last season, has been a critical special teams player for us, has probably been one of our best special teams player the last 2 years, and a guy that's deserved the right to have his name mentioned in this competition, and has done a great job. And you know, a lot of times you've heard me say, make me play you. Bobby's been a guy to do that. But back to your question on all three of those guys having support system around them, I think we're in a great situation that way to say in our defense that you have the ability to have Willie Harvey, a three-year starter on your left side, to have Marcel on your right side that's been a two-year starter and now going to be a two-year starter and been successful in special teams, and then to have that defensive front in front of you, including Ray. I think you can go play the game instead of maybe worrying about having to make all the calls or doing all those things. You've got guys there that can help you do that, and we're really fortunate in that situation.
What kind of compliment has DeAndre Payne grown into playing opposite of Brian, and now that he's kind of found a home at corner?
Yeah, I mean, DeAndre Payne, again, a little bit like Kyle. When we come here initially 2 years ago, Kyle and DeAndre are the first two guys that come in with us. They're in that first, you know, that January. And, you know, DeAndre has done nothing but enhance the culture of our football program in every way in terms of how you prepare, detail, player ownership. And, you know, I think for him to be able to settle in last year at corner, and even saw towards the end of the year him play such really good football for us and confident football, I think you're seeing a guy that's, you know, poised to have maybe his best year too, back to his natural position at corner. And I just think a confident, smart football player, and a guy that, you know, you have him and Brian out there. Boy, you're really fortunate to have two guys that played a ton of football and really own their craft.
Ben, you mentioned the grace period aspect, and what's the value of not having a grace period? Because a lot of fans look at their, traditionally, kind of, it seems like game one is kind of that kind of grace period situation, whereas you have a team, even though it's an FCS team, that doesn't allow you that.
Well, I think the one thing that this has done and our schedule has done, period, and it makes you, your heightened intensity from the time you come back in January till you get ready for the football season is on high alert. And you know, you have visual evidence, you have equity in what's being said. Instead of trying to, you're building something up, you're actually telling truisms, and you can show that, and there's videotape evidence. And you know, I think for to be able to have that schedule, it makes everything else in terms of your awareness and your intent of what day-to-day is, it's better be on the highest level, or you're going to get exposed really fast. So, you know, I do think those are the positives that come in when you play a schedule like ours, where every week you got to bring in and every week you got to be ready to rock and roll, especially when you're talking about week one against an opponent like this.
I think from the way the depth chart still stands, and then from what you've said the last couple of days, the kicking battle is still up for grabs. Is that something you still think maybe you could go into Saturday's game unsure of where it could go, and just maybe talk about, given everything you've said about just all the small things matter, how that could actually be a pretty important battle?
You and I would know this, and Ian and I will tell you this. This is maybe one of the most important battles that we continue to have out there, you know, just because I know how critical that role is for our football program. Now, with that said, I am really proud of what those guys have done. Rather than their inadequacies hurting us from not making a decision on that, it's really that both guys have had really, you know, all those guys have really had good camps. And, you know, when I look at them and I see the success that they've had, that's more so the challenge for us right now. Now, again, I think you want to be slow to go on this situation, because you got some guys that could be their first role, and to come out and say, you know what, that's our guy, we're going with them. I think I want to see these guys now take the pressure of game week. How does that look? How does that feel? And then make the right call. You know, Connor Sally's a young man that, you know, walked on our program 2 years ago. We were really impressed with him then, has only grown and really has had a consistent camp. Braden Narverson, you're talking about a guy that's got elite talent, a guy that, you know, got dinged up this summer a little bit when he went home early in May, came back and has kind of worked through that, so it's delayed his progress, but he's completely healthy now, and, you know, I thought had a really good camp as well. And then obviously with Chris, you know, and Chris has got a powerful, powerful leg, and you, the great thing about Chris, you know, he's your kickoff guy, you know, he's a guy that, that you can count on from that end, and so he's got equity into what decisions you make as well. So for me, it could be by duty, or we'll make a decision as the season goes, but the reality of it is all three of those guys have certainly done a really good job in camp, and I am proud of all three of them.
Maybe the name that emerged, at least depth chart wise, was Josh Johnson, receiver. What allowed him to merge before camp, and is he in that conversation to get some of those, you know, touches throughout the season, or early in the season?
You know, two guys at the receiver position that had really, really strong fall camps for us is, on top of the guys that I've already talked about, Josh Johnson and Jalen Martin. You know, I thought both of those guys really took advantage of the spring, end of spring, summer months going into this season, and I think both guys really want to play. Both guys are highly competitive football players, and you know, I think they were able to listen to, hey, this is what I thought of you in the spring. These are some areas that I feel like you need to get better, and they attacked it this summer. And you know, for Josh, I give so much credit to him and the work ethic he's put. You know, I think Matt Eaton was a huge asset to Josh, to be honest with you. I think he took him under his wing, and you saw the consistency that both of those guys played with in fall camp. I'm really appreciative and really proud of those guys. And you know, Jalen, I think Hakeem kind of did the same thing to Jalen. And so, you know, the benefit of having those two leadership guys in our position group, I thought that was really, really big. But I'm really excited about both of them. I think that both those guys have a chance to help us this fall for sure.
Coach, are you calling plays on Saturday? And if so, how does that work?
Well, you know, I've always called plays on Saturday. So, you know, that's not changing very much to really what's gone on. You know, between, I know we've talked about that before, between myself, you know, certainly Brian Gasser, Joel Gordon, you know, those guys probably more so in the direct line of calling plays and, you know, guiding the game plan along the right way. And then obviously Alex and Jeff Myers kind of being guys that, you know, continue to have been with us, know responses and know what their communication lines are throughout series and throughout the plays. It's kind of how it rolls. So I wish I had a more definite answer. Everybody's looking for it. It's certainly not magic, but there'll be a play called on Saturday, I'm sure. And Kyle, we can't forget about him. He probably gets about 50% of them. So
we have time for one more question.
How important is it for a program like Iowa State, like anybody, I guess, but maybe especially Iowa State, to have a 1,000-yard rusher?
Yeah, you know, numbers are what they are. You know, I think you and I know this, and I've said this from day one, you got to be able to run the football. And, you know, you have to have the ability to have a running game to reach your full potential. College football is still about run the football, play great defense, be great on special teams. And, you know, as high and flashy as all these offenses can be at times, you know, those are the best teams in the country that have chances to win championships. They all have the ability to do that. And that's something that I think is important to any program that wants to be a championship-level program, is they have to have those qualities. And certainly something that a program like Iowa State, you would love to be able to take a step, whether you're defining that by a 1,000-yard rusher or you're defining it by consistency in the run game. I think those things are defined differently. But being able to run the football and have a rushing attack, I think, is important to any program for sure.
Do you, like, have a plaque or pictures or something of 1,000-yard rushers? Because that seems to be the magic number.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I go back to Kareem Hunt, David Flewellen, you know, Adonis Thomas, and I don't even know what those guys rush for, but they're still playing football. So that's all I worry about.